Good evening, sweet friends. So nice to sit with you tonight, as usual. Such sweetness comes to me every Monday night, somehow. So Randy's mentioned the body in his poem. So when we are reading or hearing the Dharma in our daily practice, we hear the teachers say, go to your body, or embody this, embody that, embody life. So in studying the Dharma, we hear these two phrases over and over. And at the Yellow Dog Sangha, we're studying how to perceive life with whole body awareness, which I certainly didn't know was possible until I started meditating. Embodying the Dharma means we have to open to the truth found already within us. Already there. Embodying the truth is when we become the truth. There's not a distinction. We are the truth. It's where the two worlds meet, one in the world and one in our spiritual life. So it's where the two worlds meet, and there's no distinctions or preferences. We are it. The whole thing. We're it all. When I met one of my teachers now, Anand Tupten, I immediately perceived this phenomena. I don't think I've ever seen a person who actually embodied what they were teaching. I'm sure that's there. But when I saw him, of course, he went into a monastery when he was 8 years old. So that's his whole life. But I experienced what it was like. There's no difference between him and what he teaches. He personifies these teachings. So there's no difference between what he's saying and who he is. So does practice of body awareness lead to embodiment? Do we become the truth? Well, that's something we'll have to find out, each one of us. Can't take anybody's word for it. Tar Brock says the most powerful healing arises from the simple intention to love the life within you unconditionally, with as much tenderness and presence as possible. That is quite clear, isn't it? Can we bring systemic attention to our body? Well, that's what we're trying to find out. Can we shift our whole relationship to our physical life? And for me, what enables that to occur when it occurs is I added, which is quite usual, scanning the body. As soon as I sit down, the first thing I do is scan the body from head to toe or from toe to head, and sometimes more than once or twice, just so I get a sense of the whole body. The whole body sitting. So going to and staying in the body to live is very different, as we've all experienced, than from thinking about how life is unfolding. We begin to see that distinction quite quickly, and what a difference it is. And when I say we can shift, I mean that there can be conscious effort to pause or stop, regardless of how many times it takes, just practicing stopping is huge, is a huge benefit. Because immediately, as you will know, the pause brings us automatically into our bodies. And there we're centered again. There we're operating from our bodies. So it's powerful, and with time, these pauses allow us to open to other possibilities, to really see what's going on in our lives in a way before, or at least for me, before meditation. It's a shift. So the pause allows us to insert an in-the-moment response instead of our conditioned reactive response. And that's what happens when there is not the right effort to enable this process to work. And with mindfulness of the body, we can notice more clearly the rhythms and the needs of our bodies. And without attending to our bodies, we lose touch with our lives. We're just thinking the same old thoughts. And we lose what's real. But what real is compelling. So once we begin, we cannot stop. Can't go back. I mean, you may take a sabbatical, but you'll be back. So meditation can help us find out in what ways we are neglecting the physical aspects of our lives and what our body's asking us. And we've talked about the attitude towards ourselves. We try to allow whatever arises to move through us as it will. And we want our attention to be very kind. And layers of tension will gradually release. You've experienced this. And the energy will begin to move. So what happens, or there are places in our body where we have held the patterns of old illness and trauma. And those places will open. Then a deeper physical purification and opening of the energy channels will occur as the knots release and dissolve. Oh, how it hurt when I first had to learn to sit in the posture that is conducive of gaining this kind of information. It hurts. It hurts until it doesn't hurt. And you never know when that's going to happen. But It does. So, Marion's not here tonight, but Wanshi, both of them, had questions about noticing some unusual sensations in their bodies while focusing on the body. And so, the teachings say, allow these sensations. They may be unusual, but they're okay. And befriend them. We don't may not know exactly what they are. We can't analyze them, or we could, but that doesn't take us anywhere. But we can befriend them and welcome them and bring them in. And with our acronym RAIN, recognizing the sensation, whatever it is, wherever it is in your body, allowing it and that interest. Oh, hello, sensation. I'm not too sure I've met you before. And so allowing and investigating allows the body to heal, and the body will heal. It's just hard to realize that an old 76-year-old body could feel so good. I'm not saying all the time, by any means, but I didn't know it was possible. And so paying attention to the body enables us to take very good care of it because it's precious. It's going to lead us home. And so we will, with this stillness and paying attention to the body, we'll have a variety of openings. Powerful movement of the breath, sometimes a spontaneous vibration, just other physical sensations. Like Marion was saying, extreme heat. I've experienced that in my own practice for a period of time. So whatever arises, want your attention and to be with it. If it's possible, sometimes it gets so intense that it may not be possible, and that's okay. Nothing's wrong with that. We just touch it lightly and then touch it lightly again until we can stay with it. So if it's calling for our attention, let's give it. Let's give our attention to the things within us that are going on that we don't understand. Because nature heals. The acceptance of nature in any form heals, because that's who we are. And so with mindfulness of the body, we're also looking closely at our attitudes towards ourselves. And you hear me talk about this a lot because of the fact that it is so crucial. Because why? Well, we live in a country, within a society, that just overemphasizes the appearance of the body. Yuck. Randy and I are just now watching a series, and we recommend it. Somebody Somewhere. Anyone watching that? Somebody Somewhere. Disregard the language. You know, if you're offended by the language, you know, don't go there. But if language doesn't offend you, go there. Because it invites us to embrace diversity. Not only diversity of bodies, but diversity of lifestyles. So it's fascinating to me in that respect. And of course, I've seen my own conditioning along these lines in viewing this beautiful series, because I too obsess, fall into, all right, I'm too fat. All right, I'm too, no, I never say I'm too skinny. That doesn't come. No, never too skinny. Too old, too dumb, no one likes me, I'm not good enough. You think, Nita, that sounds like a sixth grader. Well, I don't know from where it comes. But we do, we feel those feelings within us, and we take them personally. We don't know quite what to do with them. But that's where the practice kicks in. So that dialogue that we are observing is not helping us. It's not working for us. Is not helping us point ourselves to our essential nature, to our Buddha nature. So we're working on observing and how we criticize and put ourselves down. And then identifying the dialogue, identifying the words where we're not kind to ourselves. Or remember pet names. I think Sharon Salzberg called herself, what was it, Randy?
Klutz.
Yeah, Klutz. And she caught herself. And it's probably something she had been, you know, saying every time she made a mistake. Well, you old Klutz, you know what that's like, how we do that. So do we have some pet names that we say to ourselves? And if so, we want to know them. We don't want to push them away. We want to know them. So we inquire, can I be kind to myself as easily as I offer kindness to others? And what am I saying to myself right now? And again, we can shift our mind states of hate to love and kindness with the practice. That's where the practice takes us. More love. Not only just more love for everyone, but more love for ourselves. So it's important to investigate within this topic of unworthiness. Then we can set an intention. We can plant seeds like we're doing now. With the understanding that we are perfectly imperfect. And that's the design of the universe. We didn't make it up. So as I said earlier, metta meditation is another healing tool that's tried and true. It's okay to talk to yourself in a loving way. May I be happy. May I feel safe. May I remember I have Buddha nature. May I learn to love myself. No one's going to hear you but yourself. So let your prayer to yourself come from your own aching heart. And we gradually include in our awareness all that we have previously shut out and neglected. And so our body heals. Our body heals. It heals itself. And so learning to work with this opening is part of the art of meditation. We can bring an open and respectful attention to the sensations that make up our bodily experience. But there must be an intention. We must intend to do that. And so in this process, we must work to develop a feeling awareness of what is actually going on in the body. And we can direct our attention to notice the patterns of our breathing, our posture, the way we hold ourselves, our chest, our belly. And in all these areas, we can carefully sense the free movement of the energy. It's amazing how free one's body can feel. And feeling the resistance, I've said this to you before, one of the things, because I've practiced a bit on this, throughout the day, I can, and it's so helpful because it shifts on its own, I can feel my resistance to whatever, not always, what I'm resisting. And I'm talking about the little things of life, you know, the little things of life that we don't pay attention to because we don't know to. And then, lo and behold, I notice I don't any longer have this resistance towards brushing my teeth. I mean, it just gets that fundamental. So I'll end with the reminder in the poem that I read to you last week by Galway Kennell. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within of self-blessing, though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch. It is lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. Self-blessing. Wow. So thank you very much. Being good listeners, Randy's coming and we'll open it up to you.